Hello and welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast. My name is Melanie Boylan and today I'm joined by Mr. Tom McCarthy, who is the Vice President of Business Development at Motive Space Systems. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Melanie. A pleasure to be here.
So, very much interesting topic that's been cropping up pretty much everywhere on different platforms. Clubhouse was the last place that I saw this come up in conversation. But today we're here to talk about space debris, space junk, and your role in how you can help improve things in that area. So you gave an example in an email that you sent to me of the Chinese Long March booster rocket, which was very, very concerning. So has this sort of neatly sort of plateaued the conversation, do you think, in concerns to space debris?
I think there's definitely been an explosion of awareness about the space debris incidents. It's an area that's been studied for the last couple of decades and known that it was a growing problem. But I think what it does, I think it just heightens our awareness that there are technologies and techniques and things that we're participating in today that eventually could help solve and mitigate some of these problems tomorrow.
So tell us about Motive Space Systems. What can they do that will help?
Well, Motive Space Systems is a space robotic company, and we do all sorts of motion control things. So the way we like to put it is that if something moves on a satellite or a rover, that's what we're good at. We do that well. We're a multidisciplinary group of individuals. It's comprised of electrical engineers, mechanical, software systems. And when you put all of those skill sets together, you yield robotics capabilities. So there's different techniques in addressing space debris that are being studied in different industries and within the government. But one is, depending on certain sizes of debris or how it needs to be adjusted, if it needs to actually be addressed in orbit as opposed to just being tracked from the ground, then space robotics could very well be a good solution to help mitigate that and actually provide a safe reentry technique.
Now, as this is such a issue at the moment, and we're now talking about the commercialization of space travel, and you know, with the recent launches of, you know, millionaires and billionaires into space, is this the right time to start actually doing these launches, or do we really need to sort out the space junk problem first?
Well, that's a great question, because I think there's competing interests there. I think it's very exciting that we live in an era where space launch has become more economical and efficient. And that is great. It's driving an ecosystem, an economy. It's finally delivering on the promise of tourism. Mm. And we've talked about that for a long time too. When are the regular folks going to be able to fly someday? You know, and I think that's very cool. But you know, one of the consequences of that is there has to be responsibility in terms of making sure that we're cleaning up our messes, if you will. So when we launch things, and or if there's incidences where there's collisions, we need to find ways to address that so that we keep those space opportunities viable, you know, yeah, not just you know, for long into the future, whether it's for science missions, human exploration and tourism, or just maintaining our, you know, our global infrastructure for climate monitoring and GPS and, you know, those kinds of things that are really important to us for our daily lives.
I guess it's not just junk that we have to be wary of. I know that they're in different orbits, but, you know, there's all these satellites that should be there that could also be impacted by this junk. And there's no way of protecting those. They don't have little laser beams on there defending their satellites. So surely it should be in the interest of the people like Elon, who's putting stuff up there, to actually clear this debris to protect their investments.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's right. And I think even for folks like Elon, I think he and SpaceX have said that, you know, they want to have, for example, they're working on constellations, they're Starlinks, and they want to be able to have those to deorbit. I think they're trying to be responsible as well. I think it is important to producers like that and people who provide those services, because they want their services to be readily available for a long time. So that has to be in the calculus of their operations.
Absolutely. No, yeah, absolutely. So what can we do to highlight the issue so that the everyday Joe can start swaying and moving people into action? And is it really just down to you, or is there stuff that the everyday Joe can do as well to support this action?
That's a great question. I think the first start was just, you know, highlighting what the risk is. I think a lot of people, as you mentioned earlier, don't appreciate the issue at hand. And when we happen to see concern of not knowing exactly where that booster rocket was going to re-enter for a while, you know, that was concerning. That you know, if that re-entered over a populated area, that's kind of scary. And you know, we don't want to see those types of events happen. We want to operate space in more of a controlled function. I think that the answer isn't to completely fight against industry and say, hey, we shouldn't launch anything anymore. I don't think we want that. I think we want a viable industry. But I think what we do want is we do want continued awareness. And I think we want continued support that there is enforcement of regulation that providers and builders of rockets and satellites have good execution plans, and they know what the what type of options they have in the event that their satellite becomes problematic, or making sure that their rocket vehicle components safely re-enter, if that's the plan too.
Can I put you a bit on the spot here and talk about jurisdiction? So I don't know, is there a jurisdiction, a responsibility of the people who put stuff up there for it to come down safely, particularly, or is it just common sense? Is there a law that ensures that they have to make sure it comes down safely and doesn't damage stuff on the way?
Yeah, there are quite a few laws. I'm not an expert in the space laws themselves, but there absolutely is jurisdiction rules. There are things that are inferred from maritime rules as
really,
well.
In space? You know,
yeah, because cool. Because it's a nice analog for space, because it's shared space, if you will, much like the oceans are supposed to be, and it's an international community, and there's supposed to be awareness between the various members, and so yes, there is jurisdiction. There is material that belongs to certain entities, and that has to be respected. But at the same time, I think it's important that the discussion of jurisdiction, or at least the discussion of how to solve these issues and mitigate problems, so that it doesn't become too partisan. It really the community looks to doing good, responsible things. Like you said, some common sense.
Oh, yeah.
is important. So, and it's important to keep those entities talking and making sure that they're performing on it.
Okay, I didn't know that actually. That's interesting that it's maritime. I guess it makes a lot of sense now you say it, but it just never occurred to me that it would be. Okay, so once you've got your permissions to delete these bits and pieces up in space, is the whole idea obviously to bring down as much as possible through the atmosphere to completely destroy it? Because obviously if you break it up, it will just go into more millions of parts, won't it?
Correct. So I think it depends on what type of orbit it is. There are some in the higher orbits, like the geostationary. There are sections of those orbits that are basically graveyards, that material can be sent there and it's in a safe place, and we won't see future collisions and so forth. And that's been used for many, many years. As spacecraft reach end of life, they can be pushed away from a viable orbit.
Oh, okay.
And for other areas, yes, what you just said is right. Being able to control debris back to re-enter and over unpopulated areas and burn up as much as possible is critical. So facilitating that is important.
But just before we started the podcast, I spoke to you about a couple of websites I viewed, and for the life of me, I can't remember what they were, that showed the space debris in our orbit and sort of circular, you know, going around in different types of orbits. And some of them are huge, absolutely huge orbits. So those really large ones, are those the ones that are safe, or are they still going to be, you know, sort of going way out and back in again? I suppose they're still going to be going close to the Earth at the end of the day. So do we still need to knock those ones out as well?
Well, I think it depends. There's a lot of assets, a lot of satellites, a lot of activity up there. And a lot of that is tracked for the safety of those systems or for those platforms that have humans on them, whether it's a space station. I'm sure the Chinese have put up a new space station and it'll be populated as well. And so for the safety of those systems, they're constantly monitoring those things. And I believe there's an established priority. There's going to be areas that are really important in terms of, like, you know, what potential threats and risks exist. And that would kind of give us a roadmap as to, you know, what area should we target first? How do we, because obviously space is a big, big place. So, some of these things, you know, they can be pretty small, these pieces of debris. And there's things that are obviously very, very large. But they can all cause problems, and they can amplify and magnify into, you know, many, many more pieces if you have collisions. So it's important to be able to track, prioritize, and then, you know, make good decisions and see how we can help clean up the area.
So let's get back to what you guys can do with your space robots. Can you tell us how they work?
Sure. So our robot systems are a composite of electronic controls and actuation systems and various tools at the end of an arm, for example. We've worked with different entities. We have history of working with JPL in producing robotic arms that we've put on Mars. The current rover is now operating one of our robotic arms. We're looking to provide another robotic arm to the moon in the next couple of years. It operates under extreme temperature capabilities. It operates cold down to minus 180 C. But those technologies can be fused into other forms that can be used on orbit, that can actually, with the guidance and control of a satellite, approach, let's say, a piece of orbital debris, engage it, arrest it, and then that satellite can decide if it wants to place a small package on that, so it re-enters safely. They have the orbit technologies so that it will slowly decay into an orbit and then go in a safe way. Or again, just to be able to arrest and collect the debris and then handle it in appropriate fashion as deemed by the operator. But there's and a lot of that technology has been studied with partners that we've worked with at NASA, Goddard, who have been studying this for a long, long time. And it's more in the theme of satellite servicing, but certainly orbital debris mitigation kind of falls under the umbrella of those kinds of capabilities. And so NASA has taken a long look at these things on just sustainability of satellites. So I think also maintenance of the environment ultimately will be important for them too, because it's just a part of the whole ecosystem to make sure there's capabilities that safely keep these things operating.
That is actually very clear and concise as a response. But I did notice you said you were going to put a little packet on it. What is that?
So some companies actually have different techniques for creating deorbiting packages. There are some that have, let's say, like a tether system that deploys and it just slowly drags the satellite down until eventually it falls into a reentry cycle. There's others that have, you can think of it as a more of an active system, more of a propulsion system.
Cool, so a little jetpack.
Yeah. And then you can, and then it can guide the debris. Let's say it was like, you know, like a booster or something like that, that is just truly floating. It doesn't have a lot of control. It has no control. It's not active, but it could be affixed to that and then provide just, you know, some controlled flight to
Any
re-enter.
Guidance to it?
I believe there's some. I think there's different providers, different styles, different techniques. And so, again, I don't know all the specifics of all their operations, but I do know these technologies exist, and the capability is certainly there. It is accessible, and those are solutions. Those are solutions that have been talked about, and they're viable. But again, it also comes down to a question you asked before earlier about jurisdiction. You know, when you go to service or you want to interact with a piece of hardware like that and bring it back, you know, you need to make sure everybody's on board. Is this the right decision? Are we targeting the right area? Are we doing the right thing? Is it good common sense? And are we going to get a positive result?
I mean, there is no other use for this material out there. It's not like we can collect it and reuse it in any way, is there? We can't bring it to the moon and repurpose it or reuse any of it, especially the larger parts.
Well, I think some would argue that point. There's always studies out there for things just like that. The concepts of could we repurpose? I mean, repurpose is something we've developed for, you know, decades or hundreds of years, you know, terrestrially for all sorts of things. So I think there are some startup companies and technology developers who would like to believe that some of that material up there is a resource, and it could be repurposed if given the right set of criteria, the right abilities to engage. So I think anything's possible. I think what's going to happen is that we just need to identify some of these solutions, and we just need to figure out, okay, when is the first real one going to happen, and how are we going to address it? And then, and there are definitely companies that are demonstrating and planning on doing some of these first activities around the world, and which is very exciting. And hopefully that catches a lot of steam, and others will follow.
Well, I didn't expect that answer, I've got to say. but it's nice to know that we are thinking of ways of repurposing these sort of things. So how long have you been in this particular field, looking at trying to either recover or remove the space debris? And how quickly do you think we can actually start putting some of these ideas into genuine action?
So I've been involved in the space robotics. So personally, I was trained as an electrical engineer many, many moons ago, and I worked for JPL working on technologies that would apply to small rover systems or robotic arms and so forth, motion control systems. For the last 10 years or so, I've actually been working in the commercial space industry, and that last 10 years, we've been working with the agencies like NASA and specifically developing technologies that could contribute to this problem. And I think for us, we are a provider of a capability, of a technology, of a skill set. Ultimately, what we require is a complementary fit with somebody who wants to provide the satellite, provide the asset to go address the issue. And so I think for us, I think that there's, again, some demonstration activities that are coming to show that, I'll back up a second. In the last year, so in a similar way, there's been demonstrations of life extension capabilities performed by Northrop Grumman, where Northrop Grumman built a couple of satellites to go attached to commercial spacecraft that are operating normally, but they're low on fuel. And the point of that application is that commercial satellite now has a new little jetpack, that drives it around and extends its life, and everything else is working great. And so, so we're not just throwing that one away. That it continues to produce. That's a great solution. And things like that. So, but in the same vein, like that's really exciting technology, and somebody's is paving the way in terms of like how to do it, and opening opportunities for other companies and other entities to pursue similar technology to work the orbital debris mitigation issues.
So it's actually happening now already that people are managing to remove space debris, maybe not as much as you'd like, but it's actually happening now.
I'd say the first steps, which are driven by certain satellite servicing technologies, which will be used for orbital debris, are happening for sure. They're definitely happening. And I think the concern for orbital debris is going to slowly be addressed over the next couple of years. I think we're going to see more and more of companies who are willing to invest and show that they can do this, and then eventually create a service that that governments or companies that maybe the company that built the spacecraft is responsible for the spacecraft. It's not working anymore. They could go out and procure a service and say, "Hey, can you please retrieve my spacecraft so it's not posing a threat to anybody else?"
I've just got this vision of a recovery vehicle going around scooping up all these bits and pieces. Right. Now. So is this going to be a joint thing? You know, all the nations, and there is quite a few. There's not just two. There's quite a few nations that go up there. Are they all thinking along the same lines and trying to get this in action, or is anybody leading the way at the moment?
I think it has to be. It absolutely has to be. We talked about before, you know, the analog of maritime law. I mean, you have to have a community that wants to solve the problem together. You have to, because as you said, there's too many players and too many interests, and it's government and it's commercial. It's a unique place because there's so many people involved. And I think ultimately they all want a sustaining business capability. They all want to be able to perform science and do their commercial activities and so forth. That's important. So, and in terms of like who is leading the way, you know, there's definitely interest that has come out of Japan, certainly out of Europe, other areas. I know there's areas of study within the U.S. So I think, I don't know who specifically is leading the charge, but I know there's a lot of interest in the global community.
Okay, well, that's encouraging to hear that at least something's being done about it and we're not just pontificating anymore, which happens a lot. But one thing I've always enjoyed about the space community is it has always maintained a community, even when there was Cold Wars and political issues. There was never an issue when it came to space.
Yeah, I think.
Well, it certainly didn't appear to have an issue.
Right. Well, I think space is definitely, I think space is one of those places where cooperation is king. It is important. And because, I mean, it's based on this topic. If you don't, there's no cooperation, then it wouldn't be very viable for us in a very short period of time. I think there's still plenty of competition within space. I think there's countries want, you know, they want to be able to have their systems and making sure that they will always want to compete for certain needs and data and so forth, so they could do, again, like their climate monitoring or evaluation or look at resources and so forth. So there is definitely competition still, but cooperation is king.
I guess the other issue is the cost, isn't it? So we've agreed that everybody has an interest in doing it, and everybody, you know, it's common sense to actually go to the trouble of doing it. Is there any way that we can encourage the suppliers of these craft, of this spacecraft or the satellites or whatever, to make it like a tax write-off, if you like, to make sure they actually clear it. Because we encourage people to do stuff all the time using that sort of method. Is there anything we could do to, that can, well, not us particularly, but that we could encourage our leaders to do to help this movement happen faster?
I think that's a good question. I think there are areas like that under study to look at, or if there could be penalties if you don't, going forward. I think what you say is more of an incentive, which is so maybe both of those things should be considered. I know that a big thrust of the NASA community that was looking at the satellite servicing activities really encouraged future builders of spacecraft to make accommodations to their spacecraft beforehand, so that if that spacecraft ever needed to be serviced or addressed, it would be that much easier and reduce cost and so forth in interacting with future spacecraft. So, that's kind of a proactive way, and you'd like to believe that over time, that kind of sentiment is carried out globally. And then same type of thing, people are being responsible and have a plan for how they dispose of the assets at the end of life.
You're just so good at describing what pops into my head, because just then I was thinking Mission Impossible, the tape blowing up.
Right.
So, yep, I watch too much TV. Well, this has really been eye-opening, and I've learned loads. I'm sorry if I've asked lots of dumb questions. I'm hoping not everybody who listens to this podcast knew all the answers, but not everybody did. So I'm asking the dumb questions for them. So thank you so much for your time, Tom. I would love to hear when you actually get some of these projects underway, and you've got some footage or some data or statistics that you can share. We'd love to hear how you progress with your giant Hoover in space. And we really do appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's always fun talking about these things, and I think it's again, it builds awareness and it gets the community thinking. And I thought your questions were great. It's just one of those things. We just need to keep talking about these things and then understand what technologies are available. How do we utilize them to keep this great space industry going?
Amen to that. Well, thanks again, Tom. That's all we have time for now, but we'll be back very soon with another podcast. Thanks for listening.